Father, we love you and praise you. Father, we give you thanks in all things. We ask that you bless us, bless this message, and bless everyone here, Father, and also all of the people that are watching at home, not just now, but those that will be watching later. We give you thanks in all things, and we praise you always in Yeshua's wonderful name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I'm glad to be here. The webinar, I believe, was... I know for me, it was a lot of fun. It was very interesting. And then at the very end of it, Randy said that it's never gone 3 hours before. And I was like, oh, no. I don't know if that's good or bad. Maybe that's good. Maybe it's bad. I don't know. So I decided today I'm only going to speak for 2 hours and 55 minutes. I want to keep it under 3 hours and keep everyone awake and interested in the material that I bring for you. I do want to say, I want to bring a shalom from everyone. We have a congregation up north in Illinois. It's kind of cool right now. So I think it's like 20 below with the wind chilled. So it was really nice coming down here, coming from Illinois and then driving down. All of a sudden, I'm wrapped up like I'm from Alaska. And then I take off my jacket. And of course, my text system is such that I can speak it and in the text what I wanted to say, and I was telling him up north, hey, it's like 50-some degrees down here. Hey, I'm taking my jacket off. Hey, and they're finally like, stop texting us. Stop bragging. So it's really nice to enjoy the weather, and I'm looking forward to the warm-up up north, but it's going to be a while. Anyway, everyone from up north, we have an assembly up there in Illinois, northern Illinois, about 2 hours west of Chicago, an hour east of Iowa. And everyone from the Shalom Assembly of Yahweh sends their love to you guys here and also to the people watching us at home. The title of my message for today is The Battle for Your Mind. Now, we're all concerned about what's going on right now, and you should be concerned about what's going on right now out in the world. You know, you've got ISIS or ISIL is another thing that another name that they've given for the Islamic war that's going on in Iraq and Syria. You've got Bosnia, you've got Russia right now going on in war. And they're talking about possible peace, but, you know, who knows what's going to happen. The one battle that's affecting us. Now, we can look and say, well, we're not in Iraq, so we don't have to worry about the enemy coming after us. But actually, I'm telling you right now that not only do we have to worry about the enemy being battling against us, we also have to worry about the battle that our children are encountering and our young people. And that's the battle for your mind. And the weapons are far more, far greater, and the enemy is far smarter than the Islam terrorists that are right now plaguing Iraq and Syria. And this is a very serious war. The news media, you consider about the war and the battle for our mind, for your mind, think about how the news media uses their system to try to get you to buy into what they want you to see. How do you think pornography, why do you think there's pornography makes billions of dollars a year to buy people's minds? And so, and then you're talking about movies. There's a battle for movies, you know, excite people so that they can come and watch the movies that they are projecting. So you've got the news media, you've got movies, you've got a system of out in the world, they use fear to try to get you to try to buy into what they want you to believe, what they want you to be into. The mind is the center of your personality. Have you ever thought about that? Everything comes from here. The mind is what controls your actions. It controls your behavior. It's where your attitudes are, your perceptions, your ideologies, and all those things. That's why pornography sells. That's why the media sells. That's why movie sells, is because they capture what's in your mind and they capture your eyes, and then you buy into that and you start to develop and start to involve yourself in them. Satan wants our minds. There's a battlefield for our minds. Satan wants you to forget about Yahweh, and he wants you to forget about Yahshua the Messiah, and he wants you to forget about the Torah, and he wants you to forget about his instructions. And he has a lot of tools. We're going to talk about some of them. We're not going to talk about all of them. There's a lot of them. I wouldn't be able to keep this message to 2 hours and 55 minutes if I was going to talk about all the tools that the enemy uses against us. But what I like to do is I like to give you a basic introduction to some of the stuff that's going on out there and some of the things that you may be fighting with yourself. Another thing that the enemy uses are our weaknesses. Consider yourself. A lot of you ladies, your weight, that's a weakness that a lot of us have. And we're concerned about how much we weigh, and we get so into dealing with our weight that we forget sometimes about our children and our marriages and all those things. Think about some of the weaknesses, again, that you may have. It's all in your mind, right? Over in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Again, consider and think about all the tools that Satan uses against us, including our weaknesses and sometimes our personalities. A lot of times the things that people teach us, racism, all those things that the enemy uses against us. In 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning in verse 8, it says, "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings." The enemy knows that for him to catch us, to catch our attention, to get us away from the truth, he has to deceive us. And the deception starts in our minds. And he knows that what's in our minds can directly and does directly affect affects our souls and affects our relationships, and it affects everything around us. So again, the enemy wants your mind. The enemy wants our minds. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, Colossians chapter 3, verse 2 tells us something very important. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, it says, "Set your mind on things above." Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things, not on earthly things. When you set your mind on things above, when you're focused on the Creator, on our Father, you're not so much being driven, you're not so much focusing on what's going on the earth. Now, I'm not talking about not being aware of what's going on the earth. We all have to be aware. If you're driving down a road, you have to watch for traffic. You have to look out for the signals. I'm not talking about that kind of stuff. I'm talking about a spiritual battle that's going on in the mind. I'm talking about the enemy wanting to take our mind, wanting to take our ideas, wanting to take our obedience that we have in him, wanting to take our faith, wanting to take all of who we are and convert it into disobedience and convert it into walking in sin. But it says there to set your minds on things above. Why is he telling us to set our minds on things above? It's because he knows that the battle is for our minds. And the enemy wants our minds. So to say that there's a battle for our minds is really an understatement. When you consider that 51%, there was a survey amongst ministers, 51% of the ministers admitted to using pornography, to viewing pornography. 51%. That's over half. Over half of the ministers have admitted to being involved or seeking out pornographic pleasure. That's a lot of people, brethren. Now, do you think that the ministers know what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5? You think that they are aware of that scripture? Let's see what it says. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, it says, "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of Elohim. And we take captive every thought that makes it obedient," "we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Messiah." It's so easy to read it, isn't it? kind of rolls off the tongue real nice. But the difficulty is in putting it into action. And that's why the enemy wants our minds. Because he knows this is where knowledge lies. And he knows this is where the thoughts come in. And he knows that if he can block the thoughts, if he can block it, if you're driving down the road, right? And I know a lot of you have done this. And there's a lot of snow, whiteout conditions, or it's early in the morning and it's very, very foggy out. You tend to be more cautious because it's harder to see what's in front of you. You're more self-aware of what's going on in front of you. And I think the enemy uses that system against us. He makes it so that there's a lot of fog in our actions, so that we're not aware, so we can't see. And just like we're aware when it's foggy out, we need to be aware when it's clear out at all times. Because the enemy wants our minds. Now again, 51% of the ministers are involved in viewing material that is not conducive or supported in the scriptures. Obviously, we know why. 51% of the ministers, and I'm picking on the ministers, brethren, because if 51% of the ministers who know the scriptures, who should be the example for the people, if they are involved in such negative things, imagine what's the percentage for those people that are not in the ministry. It's very high. Very high. I don't know what it is. It doesn't really matter. I didn't look it up. But I can assure you that if those guys that are supposed to be the generals, so to speak, the top warriors, the example for the people, if they are involved in such a negative thing, then you can bet that the soldiers are too. And so again, it's very important for us to remember that there is a battle for our minds and we have to win. It's so easy to read the scripture, but it takes a lot more effort for us. It takes a lot of effort for us to remain steadfast and to be in a place where we will not be so easily led. And it takes a lot of devotion and it takes obedience and it takes the process of us examining ourselves each and every day, maybe every second, maybe every moment of our lives, so that we are not being led astray. The meaning of the English word, I looked it up, a steadfast, means to be resolute or dutifully, or to be firm, extremely firm. And also means to be unwavering. We talk about that a lot in our messages. I know you guys have heard about being steadfast. Look, don't waver to the right or to the left. Be firm in your faith. And I do want to give you the meaning, I want to give you the idea of steadfast that comes from the Hebrew word. And I want to paint a picture for you. What does it mean from the Hebrew idea of to be steadfast? Well, imagine you've seen the movies where people are hanging from the edge of the cliff and they're holding on for dear life. That's sort of the picture of what it means to be steadfast from the Hebrew mind. So put a picture where you're holding on to something just so firm that you're not going to let go because it's a matter of life and death and nothing can make you let go. Nothing can move you because you know that if you let go, you're going to die. That's the idea of what it means to be steadfast in the Hebrew. That once you grab on, you're tight and there isn't anything or anyone that's going to come and to make you move away from what you're holding on to. And that's how we have to be with our Creator. That's the only way that we can defeat the enemy, is to be holding on to Yahweh so tight that it doesn't matter who, it doesn't matter how, it doesn't matter what they put in front of us, we're not going to waver. We're going to hold on because we know it's a matter of life and death. It doesn't matter what pleasures they put in front of us. It doesn't matter what trickery they use. We're so tight unto Yahweh. We're so tight unto Messiah. We're so tight unto obedience. We're so tight in looking into righteousness and living righteousness. We're an example for all to see. We're not letting go no matter what. And they're going to come and provide for you nice little treats. I love chocolate. I know a lot of you guys do as well. And they're going to come and say, hey, check out this chocolate. This is so good. But you have to let go of that if you want it. And I'm going to say, no, I'm not going to. And whatever it is, whatever your weakness may be, because we all have different weaknesses, whatever those weaknesses are, the enemy knows you so much better than you probably know yourself. And he's going to come. He's going to bring all those things, the seductiveness, all those little pleasures, even well, he will come as an angel of light. So what does that mean that he's going to come as an angel of light? It means he's going to come in a really nice story. You know, a lot of you guys are on Facebook, and I know you get those nice little stories that promote good harmony, and it makes people cry. And I read sometimes it says, get Kleenex because you're going to cry. And you read it, and it makes you feel really good inside. Those are the kinds of things that he's going to present for you because he wants you to let go of our Creator. So, I want you to be steadfast. I want all of us to be steadfast. I want all of us to be steadfast so into Yahweh so much that we build calluses from holding on for the rest of our lives. That's the only way we're going to make it. That's it. There isn't any other. If you let go, you're putting yourself in a bad situation. You do not want to let go. Over in Isaiah chapter 26, we're going to read verse 3. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. It kind of makes that point that I just made about holding on and being steadfast. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. He says, you will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast. When our minds are so into Yahweh and Yahshua the Messiah, so tight, we're holding on for dear life, what do we get from that? We get peace. We get shalom. Who doesn't want that? You know, a lot of people talk about, oh, I wish we had peace in the world. I wish I had peace in me. I'm restless. I just don't feel right. Well, listen, it says right here, the solution, wrap your brain around Yahweh and don't let go for dear life. And it says, as a consequence of being steadfast, he's going to give us peace. And he goes on to say, because he trusts in you. Trust in Yahweh forever. For he, Yahweh, is the rock eternal. Hold on to that rock. Grab your brain around it so that nobody can come with seduction, giving you something of pleasure, and you're going to say, no, because I am steadfast in Yahweh. Over in, let's digress for 1 minute. If you read 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, with the idea that I just gave you. So we read it before, but let's go back there for a minute. If you read it with that idea of what we're told about being steadfast and also with what it says in the book of Isaiah here, think about 2 Corinthians with that idea that you are so connected. It says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of Elohim, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Messiah. Why do we do that? Because our minds are so wrapped up into Yahweh. You know, sometimes you talk about people becoming one, being fused together in the heart, in the spirit almost, because they have such a good relationship, such a good marriage. It's how sometimes we feel about our children. We love them so much that we feel like we're just, you know, almost one in the same. Well, that's the way we want to be with our Heavenly Father Yahweh. When we wrap our brains around Him and we're just so fused together, you almost can't see the difference between us and Him. We're so fused together that we are melted into Him. That's what 2 Corinthians, that's what the book of Isaiah is talking about. When we do that, and what I'm telling you is, it's mandatory. It's not an option. We can't sit here. We can't sit in our chairs and think, well, I think maybe I can hold on to him a little bit by a pinky. I think I should be fine. No. The Hebraic word, the sense that he's given us, and it's not just the Hebraic word, but it's the ideology of having a relationship with our Creator, that we're so tied with him, that we are so fused with him, that we become one with him, that nothing can come in between us. That is the only way, brothers and sisters, that we are going to be able to win. Um, It's not easy. It's not easy. But it's not supposed to be easy. But it's also not impossible. It's not impossible for us to fuse ourselves with our Creator, to fuse ourselves with our Savior, and to fuse ourselves with our with His commandments. It is not impossible. But it's not easy. You think it was easy for Yahshua the Messiah to decide to commit His body for our sins? You remember that He was bleeding, that He was sweating blood? It was not an easy decision, but yet He made it. He made it for us. And I believe that He's asking us the same thing, that if we must sweat blood, we are to do it. I believe that He's telling us and teaching us to be so connected with Him that the enemy can prowl around like a roaring lion, but it doesn't matter to us because nothing is going to let us go of Him. We're going to be so firm with Him that nothing can come in between us and Him. Over in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. And as you're going there, let me say that it's not easy. And if you're feeling kind of choked out in the communities, if you're feeling kind of choked in society, it's because the enemy is tightening the grip on those that are sinful. And you look about what's going on, you read about what's happening out there in the media. You know, it's not just the wars, but it's what's going on in this country. It's getting to be very difficult to be a believer. And it's going to get worse. And I believe we're going to be tested. And I believe that the only people that are going to get through it are those that are grabbing onto Yahweh so tight that nothing can get past them. I believe it's mandatory. I believe He's calling us to do this because it's part of the plan. And it's part of how He's choosing us, those of us that are seeking Him, that are seeking Him with all of our hearts and minds. And I believe that it is part of the plan. But notice here in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of Elohim's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to Elohim. Elohim, this is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what Elohim's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." The renewing of your mind. Why? Because there's a battle for our minds, and the enemy right now is winning. He's winning. As I was saying earlier, it is very difficult to be a believer nowadays. You look at what's going on in our societies. You're talking about homosexuality. The world is accepting homosexuality as an acceptable way of life in this world. We stand against it as believers because we have the mind of Messiah. But what happens if we speak against it? Brother Randy, he did something yesterday that a lot of people who are standing up against homosexuality are saying. He said, "I don't care if you call me a homophobic, I'm still going to stand on the word." Why did he say that? Because there are people calling us homophobic. That's why he said it. And why are they calling us homophobic? Because we stand for the scriptures and they want to utilize mental abuse, if you will, name calling against us. You know, there's a school in, I believe it's California, don't quote me on it, but they utilize young people, peers, young people that are homosexuals to go into classrooms, and then what they do is they teach on homosexuality, and so young people, right, peer pressure, you know, we all know about peer pressure, so they utilize young people to go into schools, into classes, so that they teach other young people about the importance or why they should accept homosexuality. And one of the things that they do is that at some point in the class, they line all the students up and they say, "Okay, if you are against homosexuality, step forward." So the students step forward and then they begin to berate them and call them names, call them homophobic, and accuse them of all kinds of things. That's what they're doing here in America. Can you believe that? Isn't it crazy? But that's what's happening. And that's why it's very difficult for us. And a lot of young people, they're doing exactly what Hitler did. to promote his agenda, he's going after the young people. He's going after your children. If your children are in school, in public school, and I'm not against public school, it's just a fact, it's a reality. Maybe not necessarily in Missouri, but in many other schools throughout the United States, they are promoting Islam as a religion, and they're promoting homosexuality. And in I heard it was on the radio, and they were talking about what are the rights of the parents, right, in terms of what we teach, what we will teach our children. And one of the guys that was on there said, well, parents don't really have a right. The state has a right to teach what they want. This is on the radio. Thousands of people listening to this. Yeah, the parents don't have a right. We have the right. We've already proven it in court that we can teach them what we want. So, again, it's becoming very difficult to be a believer in this world. And, again, you know, think about that. Think about that school. What if it is your child that is going to public school and they're being taught about Islam and they're being taught about how and why homosexuality is okay? What are you going to do? You're holding on. You're trying to hold on. It's tough as it is already. It's very difficult for us. You're trying to hold on for dear life to Yahweh, and the world is trying to do everything to pull you away. But you know, it isn't just homosexuality, and it's not just Islam. Now the big thing right now is vaccinations, right? I know if you're a parent and you have children, you're worried about that. And you're concerned. You should be concerned. Not so much because, you know, you may choose not to vaccinate, but they're talking about mandating vaccinations. Mandating vaccinations, which means you don't have a choice. Right now, a lot of us, I know for some of us up in Illinois, some of our children, Illinois is an exception state, meaning that if we can provide a statement, all we would have to do, when our children went to public school, we just wrote a letter that said, based on our religious beliefs, we will not vaccinate, and they accepted it. But in California right now, there is a bill that takes that away. No more religious exception. And that was the discussion about, well, can we do that? If parents claim a religious exception, do they have a right to religious exception? And some of the people were saying, no. We've already proven that we have the right to do whatever we want. And so there's a move in some of the states to take away your right. And for those of you that have children, they will be, again, I'm not saying that it's going to happen. And I think it's going to be a hard fight. But there are so many people conforming now to the things that are sinful, it is hard for me to believe that they will not conform to the vaccinations. Because they're talking, they know how to do this. They know how to put their agenda out in the mass media to have people accept what they're telling us. And for a believer, you're going to have to deal with this, I believe, at some point in time. May happen, you know, might happen 10, 20 years from today. May happen next week where they pass a bill where everybody has to be vaccinated. And maybe, you know, you're thinking, well, what's the big deal about vaccinations? Well, if you study about vaccinations go against what we believe. They do. And the reason why they do is because of the process of how they make vaccines. If it's a bacterium vaccination, it may not be such a bad deal. I'm not telling you that I'm okay on any form of vaccinations in the least. But if it's a bacterium vaccination, they generally make those in a petri dish. But if it's a viral vaccination, they have to use animals for those. What are some of the animals that are being used? Cows? Well, we're like, well, that's a clean animal. That might be okay. Pigs? That's not okay. Mice? Monkeys? So again, it's the process of what they're doing to make up these vaccinations. But what are they doing? What are they doing in the media? Oh, 121 cases throughout the U.S., 50 in Illinois, some in California, and so on and so on and so on. We have to vaccinate our children. It's mandatory. Forget about a religious right. It's becoming very difficult to be a believer. And I believe it's going to get worse. But I also believe that the difficulty is up here. It's in our minds. They try to conform us, and they go after our children, because if they can conform our children, they don't have to worry about us. Once they've got our children, they don't have to worry about us. You know, up in our assembly, we have a very large youth group. We don't have tons of kids, but we do have a lot of young people. A lot of young people are drawn to our congregation because I believe young people are drawn where other young people are drawn. And we spend a lot of time with them. We spend a lot of time. We believe that young people are our best resources, including children. We invest a lot of time in them. We talk to them. We build them up. We talk about stuff like this. I can honestly say I have to praise Yahweh that our young people, many of them, have gone off to school and they brought up other and they have brought other young people with them, and those young people have then become part of our congregation. But they are encountering lots of difficulties themselves. And those the scripture says that the older needs to teach the younger. And of course, we also need to teach our children against these things. Because the enemy is using those kinds of tools against us. It's a terrible thing. But of course, we know that that is what's happening. Now, I'm going to pray that we never, ever have to worry about vaccinations. But listen to the rhetoric that's out there. Listen to the news. It's out there. They're talking about it. And so, as believers, we cannot, under any condition, accept a vaccination that has been processed through the means of an unclean animal. Can't do it. We just can't do it. I know it's a hard thought. You know, it really is. I think about it, and it's like, it's bigger than I can even imagine that at some point my granddaughter is going to be forced to take on a vaccination that would be unclean. It's crazy to think about it, but I'm not trying to bring you fear. I'm not trying to put fear in you, because we have to trust in Yahweh that Yahweh is going to provide the means. And that's basically what we have to put our head on. But see, for me to have that, it means I have to wrap myself up so tight to Yahweh that nothing can come between me and Him. And even those things that are going on in the world are not going to affect me because I'm so tight into Him. And it is a process, brothers and sisters. If you don't feel that you are so wrapped up in Yahweh that you're fused with Him, that's okay, because it's a process, right? We can build up to that point. But we have to examine ourselves. We have to make sure that we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, walking in obedience, keeping ourselves pure, looking towards righteousness, and being one with Him, praying with Him, talking to Him, conversing with Him, asking Him for direction, and also thanking Him for what He's given us, but being mindful to hold on for the ride. Because it is a tough ride, but it's a ride that is worth winning. And we cannot conform our thoughts to the ways of this world. In Psalm chapter 10, I believe it's a little bit about explains what's going on today with some of the topics that I just brought up. And those are some of the things that I know a lot of you have probably heard on the news. I'm sure you're concerned with a lot of the stuff that's going on. But in Psalm chapter 10, I believe, talks to us a little bit about why these are some of the things that are happening out in the world. Psalm chapter 10, verse 4, it says, "In his pride, the wicked does not seek him. In all his thoughts, there is no room for Elohim." I mean, if this doesn't explain what's happened out in the world, I don't know what else does. But people are not seeking him. They have no need for him. Don't they have a movie out that it says, and I'm going to use the correct name, "Yahweh is not dead"? Any of you see that? Right? Yeah. Yahweh is not dead. And why is that? It's because they started this movement, this ideology, this thought that Yahweh is dead, that he's no longer alive. And so he doesn't matter. He doesn't matter in our lives. So you got all these people that are presenting themselves as righteousness, in the form of righteousness, remember? As an angel of light. And they are, in essence, very wicked. And as believers, we have to be careful that we're not following in their footsteps. Last night we talked about the 10 virgins, and I said, well, you know, there's really only 5 virgins that we have to worry about. We have to be aware of the 5 negative ones, the 5 that sin, but we really want to focus and be like the virgins, the 5 ones that are righteous. And we need to know about what the 5 that are sinning, what they did, so that we don't repeat what they are doing. But in reality, that's what's happening out in the world. It's kind of hard to, it's difficult to see now what's righteous. For some people, it's very difficult to see what is righteousness and unrighteousness, because everybody's conforming to the same thought, the same ideology. And a lot of ministers, again, we talked about 51% involved in pornography, but a lot of them are now saying that it's okay to be a homosexual, that it's acceptable. And others are saying, well, Yeshua was gay, so it's okay for that. Those are some of the things that are being taught. And if you're a person that's not synced with Yahweh, if you're not holding on firmly, if you're not obedient to His Word, you're going to be washed away in the lies. And that's what's happening. And we as believers, we have to be the ones, I believe, to be the example for them. Not just to show them in the way that we live, not conforming to the ways of the world, but also in the way that we communicate, not just with each other, but even with them. We have to be the example that they see, because we are given the opportunity to be just that example. In Romans chapter 8, verse 5. Romans chapter 8, verse 5. It says, those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. We have to hold on. Our mind has to be on the things of Yahweh, brethren. It has to be so tight, like I said before. I reiterate, so tight that if we let go, we feel like we're going to die, because we are. It's a spiritual death, but nonetheless, it is a death. We have to hold on so tight with both hands and the entire being of who we are, so tight that it doesn't matter, because it doesn't matter who comes, it doesn't matter what story they present to us, it doesn't matter what they put in front of us, fame, fortune, doesn't matter. Better to live in poverty and be righteousness than to live in fame and be sinful. It does matter what we do, and it does matter what's up here. And it matters what we think and how we think. And if we're not in conjunction with this, then we're losing the war. And I think sometimes we make it too easy for the enemy. And we are worth fighting for our souls. We are worth fighting. We are worth helping our Messiah. We are worth showing our Father Yahweh that we care about what happens to us. And everybody else is worth it as well. And we need to be our brothers and sisters. We need to be our brother's keeper. A lot of times we know somebody's doing something they shouldn't be doing, and we just look away. Because it's easy. We just look away. Well, everybody's doing it. It's okay. But, you know, the scripture talks about those that follow the blind, right? Those that follow the blind fall. I know it's a strong message, but I believe it's a message we all need to hear. And I believe the Father gave it to me for me to start to consider my life and to, again, I'm not perfect in any means. I've got lots of issues. You know, I'm finding myself now examining everything that I do, examining things that I see, how I think, everything. On the trip here yesterday, it was about 5.5 hours on the road, and I had a chance to reflect to make sure that my mind is wrapped up into Yahweh, because it's so easy to let go. It's so easy to let go. Trust me. I know it is. But our Father dictates that we have to hold on, and His people are going to hold on, and that's the way we're going to get past. That's called steadfast. Our minds have to be like that of Yahshua the Messiah. So now, there's this movie called 50 Shades of Grey out there. It is one of the most sinful movies out there that's being accepted by the norm in society. It's such a sinful movie. If you don't know what it's about, that's great. And if you do know what it's about, then don't involve yourself in that trash and in that garbage. You know that this movie, and I'm not promoting it, but I'm really trying to warn people and believers, because I believe that there are some believers out there who will probably think it's okay to go watch this movie. But I'm telling you right now that it's not okay. And if you, as a believer, involve yourself in something of this nature, of such garbage, then your very salvation is at risk, and you're not holding on to Yahweh. You're not. You're just kind of flowing in the wind. This movie already, they are anticipating that it is going to make history in terms of the amount of money that it is going to make. Even before it comes out, they're saying that it is going to make so much money that it's ridiculous the type of money that it's going to make. They're saying alone that the trailer views are in the millions. The trailer views alone. And so this movie is 50 Shades of Grey. Unfortunately, it's being accepted in nominal society here in the United States today. What does our Father talk about the gray area? What does he say about being in the gray? Let's go to Revelation chapter 3. Because our Father talks about this, doesn't he? And for every believer, this is a serious thing, you know, including our young people that are part of the congregations. They have to be warned. They have to be careful. Those are some of the things that we must not allow ourselves to be involved in. Again, if you don't know what that book's about or the movie, that's great. But you're going to hear about it in the media, trust me. I know you are. Because right now, it's a huge thing. Revelation chapter 3, beginning in verse 15. He says, I know your works, that you are neither hot, cold nor hot. I would rather that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. That's what happens to us when we are, when our lives is in the gray area. And again, this movie, which promotes a very sinful, it promotes torture, a very sinful acts against humanity. A lot of people are already talking about going to see it. It is terrible. I was thinking the other day that I heard, and this is again, I say again, very difficult. It's beginning to be very difficult to be a believer in this society. I was listening to the news again. That's what I do at work sometimes. I listen to the news. But they said that the movie SpongeBob made $52 million in one weekend. This past weekend, as a matter of fact. $52 million on a cartoon that is commonly connected with homosexuality, by the way. SpongeBob SquarePants. And I thought, $52 million. You know, up in Illinois, we're getting to be more involved with the birth centers. There's a Hope Life Center there that we have done some work with. We do volunteer work. The assembly does. We go visit the Hope Life Center, and we're getting ready to, I think we're going to do it on a Saturday, on a Sabbath, where we're all going to wear like a shirt, the same, everybody in the congregation is going to wear the same shirt. We're going to go to the center after services, and we're going to pray for the unborn and for those children that are aborted, because we believe that the people that are doing the work, we need to support. And so one thing I do know in being in contact with the director of our local area, our local birth center, is that they're not doing very well financially. They're struggling. In our area, it takes $1,200 to save a life in our area. Last year, we were able to save 58. So far, from December or January, and now, of course, February, we were able to save 7 so far. So it takes $1,200. They're struggling financially. People are not donating money to the centers that are people that are trying to save lives. But people are spending $52 million on a cartoon. Think about it for a minute. Think about the depthness of what that means. when we would rather spend 52 mil on a cartoon rather than promote those that are promoting life. There's a lot to be said. Again, I'm not coming across blaming anybody here, brothers and sisters, but I do believe that we have to look at the totality of what's going on out in the world. The things that are important, should be important to us, are no longer important. The things that are should not be important to us, that are sinful in nature, we're promoting. And a lot of what they're doing is they're getting our young people. You know, Satan maybe doesn't have to work very hard out in society, but he should work very hard with us. It should be impossible for him to knock us out. It should be impossible for him to take us away. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. There are some of us who are going to be fused with Yahweh, connected with Him, obedient, and walking in righteousness, and we're going to let go. We're going to walk away because of sinful pleasure. And that's why it's important for us to be very cautious, to ensure that we're examining ourselves, to make sure that we're walking in righteousness, to make sure that, you know, that we're doing good things. And look at 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. It says, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Master and Savior, Yahshua the Messiah, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning." It's a warning to us as believers. It's a warning to us as believers. That once we have grabbed on, once we have been in the zone of righteousness, if we let go, the end is going to be worse for us, far worse. There isn't anything in this world, there isn't any type of pleasure, there isn't any amount of money, there isn't any type of fame that can compare to the glory that our Heavenly Father has given us and promising us when we hold on tight. But the judgment that is coming on those of us and those people watching at home that are believers, the judgment that is coming on us is going to be far worse. We don't want any of that. Can't even imagine of what the punishment is going to be. But it is clear, because this is what it says right here. We have to be in mind and in tune with our Heavenly Father. You know, a lot of people talk about being born again and the born again process. You know, I believe that the born again process begins right here in your mind. I really do. I believe that at some point, whether it's, you know, the scriptures tends to lead us to believe that it is at baptism. But I think it starts when you decide to get baptized. I think when you come to your mind and you're like, this is important for me, I have to be sealed in the blood of Yeshua the Messiah through baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and then you go do it, that's part of it. And it doesn't stop there. The born-again process, it is a process. It starts when your mind shifts. It starts when your mind holds on to Yahweh. And it goes on until we turn into spirit beings. It's something that is continual. It's every day. We are to be born again every day, every minute, every second of our lives. And even, you know, and the Bible does talk about it in Revelations and Daniel and Ezekiel, Isaiah. Talks about what happens after we become spirit beings. It's not the end. Being born again starts when we decide, and being baptized is a process that's part of it. We have to be baptized. That's mandatory. But being born again is a process that begins at one point and it goes on, I believe, for eternity. I don't think that the process of being born again ends. I really don't. Even when we become spirit beings, we are still serving the Father. We are converted. We are new creatures. And I believe all of that is part of what we must do. And of course, you know, the scriptures that talk about the born again process, John chapter 3, verses 3 and 7. In 2 Corinthians, chapter 11, let's go to 2 Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 3. I was joking, by the way, about the 2 hours and 55 minutes for some of you that are, you may be thinking, man, he's serious. I'm not. We're about ready to wrap it up. I hope I've given you enough information for you to consider and for you to think about and for you to decide how important it is for us to conform our minds over to our Savior, to conform our minds over to Messiah, and why it's important for us to encourage the young people, to protect our children, to build them up. It's important for us to utilize our skills and our experiences as older people to build them up and to give them those experiences so they don't have to go out and commit sin and find out the hard way. And I would encourage all you young people that are here that you need to know, you know, I tell a lot of young people that I talk to up in Illinois is a lot of them think, well, religion, that's kind of a, you know, it's not cool. And I tell them, man, that is the coolest thing you can ever do is to have faith. It's like better than anything, better than the type of music you might listen to. It's better than any kind of food that you like. It is so cool to be connected to Yahweh. It is so awesome to be tapped into the truth. It is such a thing that you should, you know, you should do, you should seek. It's like a treasure that you find and everybody wants, but you don't want to get rid of it. And that's what I encourage the young people here to consider, is that what your parents are leading you, sometimes the world, and I know that the world is teaching you the opposite, what your parents are doing for you, it is a gift that you need to adopt and take it into your heart, and you need to hold on to Yahweh, and you need to be the example for other young people. You need to be the ones that they look to. And it doesn't matter where you live. I don't care where you live. It doesn't even matter what conditions you live. If you have to go out and clean the house because your parents want you to clean the house or clean the barn or whatever it is, feed the children or feed the chickens rather, whatever it is, be cool in everything that you do, because our Father has a promise for us. And he's going to deliver that promise. And you can be part of that promise. And don't let the enemy lead you astray. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Chapter 11 verse 3. We're getting ready to wrap it up. I do have, by the way, enough scriptures to talk about 4 hours. It's overkill. I know I do that all the time. But better to have more than not have enough. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's read verse 3. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Messiah. It's so simple. Listen, it's simple, it's cool, it's hip, it's all those things. It's awesome, it's wonderful. It's a great opportunity. If you're looking for a career that nobody can take away. If you're looking for an education that taps you into knowledge, this is it right here. And it warns us against the corruption of the enemy, the serpent, that so easily deceived Eve. And how did he deceive her? It says it happened in the mind. It happened in the mind. So we have to decide today, we have to make a decision, to hold on tight. We have to make a decision to want to exist for the rest of our lives in harmony, in shalom, in peace, and in love with our Heavenly Father Yahweh. And there are no options. There is not a chance of letting go and you're going to be okay. That's not what's going to happen. You get to have your mind wrapped around and not let go forever and ever. And pass that on to your generations. Show them what it's like to be obedient and that it's okay to be obedient. Because our Heavenly Father demands it. Our Heavenly Father asks those things of us. And it says, it's so simple. It is so easy. Are we going to end in Philippians chapter 4? In Philippians chapter 4 verse 8. The enemy wants our minds. There's a battle for us in our minds. There was a battle, many of you are aware, for Moses, for his body. The enemy even wanted his body. And an angel fought for it and won it. But the enemy is fighting for our minds, because with our minds, if he takes our minds, he takes our body. And that's what the enemy wants. And we must resist the devil. We must resist the enemy. We cannot be conformed to the ways of this world. We have to win. We have to run the race. And we will be victorious, brothers and sisters. I don't want to scare you. And I don't want to leave you thinking that it's impossible, because it's not. But I do want to tell you that it's not going to be easy. And that at some point in time, you're going to have to make a decision to stand for Yahweh. And if you're so connected to Him, that decision is going to be simple. You're not going to struggle at it. It won't be a tough decision. It's going to be a simple decision. And that is what our Heavenly Father wants us to do, to choose Him. Choose this day whom you will choose. And then He tells us to choose life. What is life? It's Yeshua the Messiah. What is life? It is obedience. What is life? It is examining ourselves to ensure that our mind is connected to His Word and connected to Him. That is life. What is life? It is teaching other people the truth. What is life? It is saying no to sin. What is life? It is saying no to the things that the people are being conformed to. What is life? Life is Yahweh. And we have to be obedient to His Word, as I said. All right, let's finish here. Finally, brothers and sisters, and children, and young people, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the Elohim of peace will be with you all. Hallelujah, and thank you. And Yahweh bless you all.